Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Shalom, 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 family.
Shalom is
Jesus' name.
Grace and peace in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Grace and peace, grace. Did I hear something? I got feedback. Oh, try me again. Shalom, everyone. Grace and peace, Brother Paul. Hallelujah.
Grace and peace, brother.
Amen. Hey, brother. Today, you got Brother Jeremy reading for you. I want to say shalom to Brother Jeremy. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, now. And grace and peace to everyone. Shalom, shalom. Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Water. I'm Joe of Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. And tonight, Sunday night, we have Brother Paul Mazaluski of the Fellowship of the Spirit, a Bible study class. Reading tonight for me is Brother Jeremy. And tonight's precept is the world, God's way of proving our hearts. The world, God's way of proving our heart. You know, let me just read this here. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on his name, call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, ye men of Israel. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, ye yourself also know. The world, God's way of proving our hearts. Bruh, I can't wait to get in this. I can't wait to get in this because this here is just touching on so many things in my head already. I just want to hear what the Father gave you on this precept, and I know it's going to be a doozy. So with that being said, we're going to turn this over to our brother Paul. Shalom, Israel.
Grace and peace, brother. Praise be to God. I want to say happy Sabbath every time I come out here, man. I just every time I get the opportunity to stand in front of someone and to share this gospel, it's just, usually it's on a Sabbath day. That's why I want to say grace and peace. But, man, it's such an honor and a privilege to stand before everyone tonight and to bring this precept. But before we get into this, let's go ahead and open up in prayer, sisters and brothers. All you brothers, please uncover your heads, and all you sisters, please cover your heads if that's your persuasion. And we'll face the temple in Jerusalem and open up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather, Lord. Father, we just ask, as always, that you keep your everlasting hedge about us, and that you keep all the saints safe as they travel to and from their convocations, not only each and every Sabbath day, Lord, but even on days where they're just gathering to read your word and to begin to get some wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And Father, we also ask that you give that to us tonight. Open our hearts, open our eyes and our ears, Lord, and show us what you would have us see. For these and all your blessings, as always, Father, we thank you in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus. To all who agree and hear my voice, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
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 Hey, sisters and brothers, we're going to dig right in. The world, God's way of proving our hearts. Sisters and brothers, all we had to do in the beginning was be obedient to his voice. He said, don't talk to the tree of life, to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He does not want us to deal with Satan whatsoever. And anybody that doesn't know that Satan, that's for another lesson. But you had all the trees in the garden that grew up out of the ground, and you had two trees in the midst. You had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was Satan, and you had the tree of life, which was our Messiah, the only one that's ever dealt with man. But that's for another time, sisters and brothers. When Satan got booted out of heaven because iniquity was found in him and he was cast down to the earth, the Lord used that evil, that wickedness. His word goes out. It does not come back void. Satan used to be the light bringer. He was the one that brought the message. He's the one that taught the gospel, that brought it, or that was supposed to be bringing it. And then when he sinned, he got booted out of heaven, and the Lord turned around and used that, said, well, okay, you went down there, you tempted man, you got man to sin. Now, we need a way to prove man's hearts, to give him the right back to the tree of life. Because I created him for a purpose. Man was created to fellowship with me, to live with me, and he's going to do that. But I can't just have every man do that now, because man's heart, I see, is only evil and wicked continually. So I need to give them a way to get back to the right, to the tree of life, so they can live forever with me. But I need to see which ones really want to do this, which ones will serve my purpose, and which ones won't. So I got to have a way of testing this heart. And what the Lord came up with was the world. And we know who the prince of this world is. But let's not get ahead of ourselves here. And I'm not going to be long-winded. It's almost 10 after already. Let's dig right in. We're going to start this off in Acts, the second chapter. Acts 2. The world, God's way of proving our hearts. Sisters and brothers, we can prove things. We can be approved. We can be reproved. This word proved holds a lot of water when it comes to our race. With our right back to the tree of life. Acts 2, and let's pick this up, brother, verse 21. And 21, brother Jeremy, whenever you're ready, start this lesson off, brother.
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. Go ahead, bro.
Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. As he yourself is also known.
So Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's a lot deeper than just calling upon his name. And we got a Messiah here that is approved of God among us by miracles and wonders and signs, which our Heavenly Father did, by him. In the midst of mankind. In the midst of mankind. Let's go, brother, to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. So Jesus is approved unto God. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy 2. Brother, we're going to read one verse. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. 2 and 15. Go ahead, brother.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
So we're supposed to be studying to show ourselves approved unto God. But we know that God doesn't look at us. For us to be approved unto God and for us to rightly divide that word of truth. What we're trying to do is come underneath that sacrifice, under that Passover blood, under that Passover sacrifice, because our Messiah is approved unto God. For us to be approved unto God, we have to come underneath that sacrifice of our Messiah, because the only thing our Heavenly Father is looking at is His blood, not our individual works. But we also have to be approved unto God. Now, as always, when I do these lessons on the radio, I'm going to read the definitions. I've got two. This first one is the definition of approved. And this is out of the Webster's 1828 dictionary. It is liked, commended, shown, or proved to be worthy of approbation, having the approbation and support of. And approbation is just praise or credit. Okay? So approved is liked or commended, shown to be proved to be worthy of praise or credit. And that's our Messiah. He's shown to be worthy of praise because he's that perfect sin sacrifice for the sins of the world. And for us to be liked or commended or shown or proved to be worthy of praise or credit, we have to come under that shed blood. We have to come under that shed blood. And we know that that's by the keeping of the commandments. You get baptized in Jesus' name, the old man dies, the new man comes up out of the water and lives like Christ did, according to the law, to the best of your ability. You stray from sin, and that's how you come under that shed blood. Faith without works is dead. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And like Brother Joel said, there were so many scriptures and places for tonight's lesson. I know his wheels are spinning because mine have been spinning. Oh, my goodness. I've been trying to put this lesson in for about 3 weeks now, and the Lord just kept closing my eyes to certain aspects of it. And today, when he finally allowed me to finish putting this together, oh, there were so many scriptures that I just kicked to the side. 2 Corinthians 10. And, brother, let's pick this up in verse 17. 10 and 17. Go ahead.
But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
So if you're going to glory about anything, glory in the Lord, because this isn't our message. I don't have a reward. I don't have a damnation. I don't have a way that's mine for you to get back to the tree of life. Everything I'm bringing was given to the Father, was given to the Son, was given to the Holy Spirit, was given to Israel, was given to the rest of the nations. Because no matter how you cut it, even if you've never sat in front of physical Israel before, when you open up this book and you start reading, you're sitting in front of Israel. Because every one of these books was written by Israel. Go ahead and continue, brother.
For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth.
For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And who did our Heavenly Father commend? He commended Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And brother, let's pick this up at verse 8. Let's take a look at this race that we run. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. Go ahead, brother.
But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation.
So we're putting on that whole armor of God. Go ahead, brother.
For God hath not appointed us wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do.
Yes, sir.
And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves.
And be at peace among yourselves. It's all about peace. Yeah, we give honor. We give honor to those that teach. We give honor to the ones that taught us before we became teachers. But we don't give honor to the teachers because they're something special. Because the Lord set them up to teach. The Lord set up people as elders. You give honor to the man standing outside the door greeting people in the parking lot. Because we're all the same, sisters and brothers. We're one body, different jobs, but we're all just as important as the next one. Just like when the Lord looks at sin, it doesn't matter if you stole a 2-cent piece of the old bazooka bubblegum or you stole a $20,000 car. The Lord says you're a thief, and that's the bottom line. Well, no job is more important than the other inside the body of Christ, inside the body of our Messiah. Go ahead and tell us where you're at. Continue, brother.
Verse 14.
Yes, sir.
Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men.
Uh-huh.
See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow after that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men.
So he's talking to people that are rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, that are walking this walk or running this race. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying.
Don't quench that spirit, and don't despise prophesying. Be like the Bereans were. With readiness of mind, they received everything that was being taught. Then what did they do? They went into the book to see if what the preacher was bringing them was true. Because the Bible has the overall authority. I don't care if it's the book of Josephus. I don't care if it's some kind of antiquities of the Jews, encyclopedia. If it goes against the scripture, you discard it. Because the book will interpret itself. What we learn when we sit down in a class and study, we shouldn't be learning a doctrine. What we should be learning is how to rightly divide God's word. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 19, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying,
uh-huh.
Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil.
And we're commanded to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. But then he goes further, and the Lord had him write, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks like it's evil, if it looks like it's going south, and you take a step back and pray on it a minute, and the spirit inside you is kind of not sitting too good, we're staying from it. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. So we're rooted and grounded. We're running this race, but we're always continuing to prove all things, because our very lives, our spiritual lives depend on this, on us getting this right, sisters and brothers. That's why when I'm out there, I'm teaching about Christmas or Easter or something, I'm almost begging these other people that don't have understanding, please prove me wrong, because that's going to get them into the book. That's going to get them into the history books, and they're going to be able to get persuaded for themselves on how they need to walk. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12 chapter. Romans 12. And brother, we're going to read the first four verses. 12 and verse 4. If you get a chance, go ahead and start, bro.
It's in Romans 12.
12 and 1. You're going to read the first four verses.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Your bodies are a living sacrifice, and holy, and acceptable unto God. And this is your reasonable service. Now, sisters and brothers, I'm not going to preach to anybody, because when I first came into the Word, I used to smoke, and there were times that I overdrank and everything else, okay? There were times I ate all the processed garbage. I was 5'7", almost, like they used to say Perry was a biscuit from 350 when he played for the Bears. I was a biscuit from 250, eating all this buttercream cake and all this other garbage. So I'm not preaching to nobody, but as you grow in understanding and you grow spiritually, you start seeing that the Lord wants you to take care of your body also. And he wants you to be careful what you put into it, what can hurt your body and what can't. Because we are a living sacrifice. And if we're walking according to his commandments, we're holy and acceptable unto God. And this is our reasonable service. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 2.
Yes, sir.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
And we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, by the washing of water, by the word. We're renewed in the mind by the word of God, sisters and brothers, not just by some spookery or some kind of chance or any of that garbage. We're renewed in our mind by understanding of God's word. And that is good if we're proving it. And that's what's good and acceptable and perfect with God. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 3. For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Now, as soon as the Lord told us that we needed to prove what was good and acceptable, the perfect will of God, he told us to watch that pride. Watch that false pride. Sisters and brothers, I've been guilty of it in the past, and if we're not careful, we can be real quick to be guilty of it now. We're over here, like we'll use that scripture, oh, don't be overly righteous over much, brother. But the way we use it is we use it with the wrong spirit. Because why? We think we got it right. I got this down pat. I know this. Let me show it to you. You're not listening or whatever. That pride pops up. I'm right. I know I'm right. That false pride will pop up. It's not my message. It's not my message. I don't have a reward or a punishment. We got to take that pride and push it down low. That's why we're constantly leading and guarding our hearts. It's easy to get puffed off. Anybody who's ever taught a lesson, that at the end of the lesson, somebody had something good to say about the lesson, it'll go straight to your head if you're not guarding your heart. Just like any aspect of this walk. When Paul was writing these epistles and he was sending them out to these different regions, I can imagine when they're opening up these letters, these scrolls or whatever, and they're looking at them. Man, that'd pop you up real quick, especially when you've got a teacher looking down at you, telling you that, oh, man, I've been watching your walk, and, man, you just keep doing what you're doing. You're acceptable of a God. Man, that false pride will pop up real quick. The Lord warns us about it every time we turn around. That pride is such a killer, sisters and brothers. The prisons are filled with false pride people, all puffed up in the ego. The prisons are filled with them. What are you doing here? Ah, he called me a no-good so-and-so, and I shot him. Well, why? I hurt my feelings. Yeah, he rubbed your pride the wrong way. He made me mad, man, talking to me like that. Who did he think he was to talk to me? But wait a minute, who did you think you were? That you needed to be talked to somehow special. Where are you at? Continue, brother.
Verse 4.
Yes, sir.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office.
Yes, sir. Let's go over to Romans, the 14th chapter. We're going to read one verse. We got to keep that in mind, sisters and brothers. We have many members in one body. All members have not the same office. But the guy sweeping the classroom on Friday afternoon before sundown or whatever, vacuum in the classroom or whatever, is just as important as that reader and teacher the next day. Everybody's got a role to play, and without something getting done, that's a weak link. Classroom doesn't get vacuumed. 2-3 weeks, it doesn't get vacuumed. It starts looking like it needs to have a overhaul. You got papers laying here, gum wrappers here, empty water bottles there, or whatever the case might be. You're only as strong as your weakest link. And in the body of Christ, every link has to be the same. Let's look at the definition of prove. We've been reading about how we need to prove what is good and acceptable. We need to prove all things and hold fast to what is good and abstain from all appearance of evil.
You already read Romans before
you? You didn't read verse 8 yet? Here I go. That's my one time for today, sisters and brothers. Read verse 8. Yes, sir.
For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's.
That's why, sisters and brothers, we got to watch for that false pride. Because we're the Lord's, whether we live, whether we die, we're the Lord's. We're the Lord's, whether we're righteous or whether we're wicked, we're the Lord's. The Lord gave us a certain way. He told us to conduct ourselves. And he's telling us over and over again to prove all things. Prove what is good. The definition of prove, according to the 1828 dictionary, is to try to ascertain some unknown quality or truth by an experiment or by a test or standard. To try to ascertain some unknown quality or truth by an experiment or by a test or standard. And that's exactly what the Lord is telling us when he's come to prove us. He's putting his standard in front of us. It starts with those Ten Commandments. And he's giving that to us, and he's proving us with that. He's proving us with that. Let's look at an example in the Word of God of something being proven. Let's go to Daniel, the first chapter. Daniel, the first chapter. Here's a good physical example of proving something. Daniel 1, and brother, let's pick it up in verse 11. Daniel 1 and verse 11. Go ahead.
Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
And Azariah. Now, this is what happened here now. They were going to give Daniel and these other Israelite brothers the food of the king, okay? And now Daniel's going to say, wait a minute now, we don't want to eat that food. We want to go a different direction with this. Go ahead and pick it up in verse 12, brother.
Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us plus pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this manner and proved them 10 days.
So now he consented unto Daniel in this manner, and he's going to prove them for 10 days. What he's going to do is he's going to feed them what Daniel wanted to feed them, and he's going to see if after 10 days they're as healthy as the ones that are eating off the king's table. Daniel said, no, just give us this pulse to eat and water to drink, and check our countenances after 10 days. In other words, look at us and see if we're healthier than those of the king. Go ahead, brother, continue.
And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat.
The definition of proof: to try to ascertain some unknown quality or truth by an experiment or by a test or standard. So they proved Daniel and his other servants that the food that they wanted to eat was more nourishing to them than what was said at the king's table. Because after 10 days, their countenance was better, they appeared to be healthier, fairer, fatter in the flesh than the children that ate the portion of the king's meat. This is a good example of proving something. Let's go to Psalm, the 26th chapter. Psalm 26. Now we got a definition of proof. We got an example of proof. Let's look at David's prayer. This is King David. Psalm 26. And brother, let's pick it up at verse 1. Psalm 26 and verse 1. Go ahead.
Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide.
He says, judge me, Lord. I've walked in my integrity. I've trusted in you. I'm not going to backslide. Judge me, Lord. Go ahead.
Verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart.
He says, examine me and prove me, Lord. Try my reins in my heart. David knows that the Lord's the only one that can look into his heart. He's asking the Lord to prove him, because he wants to know if there's anything going on in the secret places. Go ahead, brother.
For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy church. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord.
So this is a brother who's walking to the best of his ability according to God's commandments, statutes, judgments, and laws, and he's still asking the Lord, prove me. Prove me, Lord. Examine me. Look into my heart. See if there's any other junk that's in there that I'm not seeing. Go ahead, brother.
That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all of thy wondrous work.
Yes, sir. One more verse.
Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the palace, or in the place where thine honor dwelleth.
So now this is David asking the Lord to prove him. Let's look at David's prayer after the Lord had proved him. Let's go to Psalm 17. Second up a couple. Psalm, the 17th chapter. Psalm 17. And brother, let's pick this up at verse 1. You can read the first 8 here too. 17 and 1. Go ahead.
Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer. That goeth not out of feigned lips.
My prayer doesn't go out of feigned lips, Lord. I'm not faking nothing here. I'm walking perfect before you. Hear my prayer, Lord. He's going boldly on that throne here, sisters and brothers. Verse 2, brother, go ahead.
Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal.
Uh-huh.
Thou hast proved my heart.
You've already proved my heart, Lord. Go ahead.
And thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing.
You've tried me, Lord, and you found nothing because I'm walking perfect and I'm asking you to prove me. And you proved me. And you haven't found anything. I'm to the best of my ability. I'm walking perfect. And I'm straying from sin. Go ahead, brother.
I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress.
Uh-huh.
Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the path of the destroyer.
Concerning this world, Lord, by the words of your lips, Lord, I have kept from the paths of Satan. Go ahead.
Verse 5, hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech.
Yes, sir.
Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by the right hand, that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against us.
Uh-huh.
Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings.
See, he's saying, you haven't found anything, and keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings, Lord. Because I've asked you to prove me, and you have proven me. And I'm walking straight now to the best of my ability, and you found nothing in the secret places. That's what it is when you're asking the Lord to prove you. It's the secret places, not the stuff out in front that everybody can see. The Lord warned us about that. Like praying out in the open and making a spectacle of yourself, having the best seats at the feast and all that garbage. All that false pride. But the Lord has proved him here. And here he's praying to the Lord with his heart proved. He's walking perfect. He's cleaned himself in the secret places. Let's take a look at what the Lord, how the Lord proves us. Let's go to Exodus, the 15th chapter. Exodus 15. Exodus 15, and brother, we're going to pick this up in verse 24. 15 and 24, go ahead.
And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink?
They were always murmuring against Moses and Aaron and all the time. Go ahead, brother.
And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them.
There he made a statute and an ordinance, and there the Lord proved them. How did he do that, brother? Go ahead.
And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight.
If you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his sight. That's got to include them secret places, sisters and brothers, where nobody's looking, where you know, man, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't be thinking this, or whatever the case is, and you take the corrective measures immediately, when no one else is around you to pat you on the back, because there's two people that know your heart, you and God. Go ahead, brother.
And we'll give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
That's how the Lord proves us. He gives us something to do and takes a step back and says, well, let's see if you're going to do it. Here's my standard. Here's my test or standard. So ascertain some unknown quality or truth by this experiment. Are you going to serve me or not? That's the way the Lord proves hearts. Let's go ahead one chapter. Exodus 16, a couple verses actually. Read one verse, verse 4, brother. 16 and 4, go ahead.
Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go up and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no.
Whether they will walk in my law or no. I want you to go out every day and get a certain rate. And on the sixth day, I don't want you holding none of it up to the morning. And on the sixth day, you go get twice as much because you're not going to find any out there on the seventh day. Well, we can read. They went ahead and they held it up to the morning, and it stank. It had worms. And there was a man that was put to death because he was out fumbling around picking up sticks. Might have been out there looking for manna. Who knows? But the Lord proved them. The Lord proved them. He gave them a standard, and he said, I want to see whether or not you'll walk in my ways. Let's go to Exodus, the 20th chapter. Exodus 20. Pick it up at verse 18, brother. 20 and 18. Go ahead.
And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off.
And they heard was a voice. All they heard was they didn't see no similitude. They didn't see nothing. All they saw the lightning and the thunder and all that. Or heard the thunder and saw the lightning and the smoke, and they heard the trumpet and getting louder and louder and louder. But they didn't even see nothing. That would freak me out. I'm standing out in the middle of the wilderness somewhere, and all of a sudden this mountain starts lightning and thunder and everything else, and I hear some voice booming across the whole area telling me some commandments he wants me to do. I'd have been just like them. Yeah, Moses, you go talk to him, man. This dude's going to kill us. Go ahead and continue, brother.
And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. Let not God speak with us, lest we die.
And what did Moses tell them? Go ahead.
And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not.
That ye sin not. He's giving you something to do. He's giving you that standard, and it's a test. Are you going to do what I would have you do, or are you going to succumb to your own lusts, the ways that you used to be? Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Brother, pick it up in verse 1. 8 and 1. Go ahead.
All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in it and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove
thee. To humble thee and to prove thee. Go ahead.
To know what was in thy heart.
To know what's in your heart. To humble you. To prove you. To know what's in your heart. I'm God. I'm taking care of you. I'm going to take care of you. All I want you to do is listen to me, child. No different than me talking to my son or my daughter. Honey, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you everything that I can possibly give you. I'm going to give you the best of everything. All I want you to do is obey my voice. Listen to me. 40 years in the wilderness to humble and to prove us. Go ahead.
Whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. That he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord.
Yes, sir. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live, or must man live. Go ahead, brother.
Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years.
Look at this. Your raiment didn't get old. Your foot didn't swell 40 years. Sisters and brothers, when I was in the military, I used to have to go to desert training 3-4 weeks out of the year sometimes. And man, you wore the oldest, dirtiest utility uniforms that you could. Because if you took new ones out there, in 3 weeks they'd have holes in them, they'd be trashed. The sun would be beating down on them, fading them. 40 years. 40 years. Thy raiment waxed not old, neither did your foot swell. 40 years. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee.
Why? Go ahead, brother.
Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him.
To walk in his ways and to fear him. Skip to verse 15 and continue.
who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint?
Go ahead, brother.
Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end?
To humble you and prove you, are you going to listen to me or not, so that I can do you good at the latter end? I'm going to give you the promised land. Obey my voice, and I'm giving you the promised land, a land that flows with milk and with honey. And look what I'm doing here. Your clothes, 40 years, they didn't even wax old. And I brought you out of Egypt, where you were working like dogs. And they were beating you and misusing you and everything else, and you couldn't serve me. And I brought you out of all that. I brought you for 40 years in the wilderness, and I fed you and took care of you. And all I want you to do is obey my voice so that I can reward you. Verse 17, brother.
And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth.
After all this, you still say, it's because of me I got all this. What do you got to do with it, Lord? It's because of me. How did you keep your clothes from waxing old for 40 years going through the wilderness? But that's the human heart. That's why the Lord says we got to watch for that pride. Because it's real easy for this world to put that false pride, that ego, up inside our heads. Make us think we're something we're not. Everything we got that was good came from our Heavenly Father. Go ahead and continue, brother.
But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth.
Yes, sir.
That he may establish his covenant with he, which he swore unto thy fathers, that it is this day.
And that same covenant that he swore unto our fathers is the same one he's going to establish with all of us. Go ahead, brother.
And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish.
He's going to testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish, because I've given you this test. Here's the standard. Are you going to listen to the world, or are you going to obey my voice? Go ahead, brother.
As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish. Because he would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God.
That's the test of the brothers. Are we going to hear his voice and be obedient? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the days of the wilderness. Deuteronomy the 13th chapter. Let's go ahead a few books, or a few chapters, I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 13. Brother, let's pick this up in verse 1. 13 and verse 1. Go ahead.
13:1.
Yes, sir.
If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder.
Now, this prophet or dreamer of dreams, today, sisters and brothers, you could just call a teacher. Because what do I do when I'm teaching? The Spirit of the Lord has filled me, and I'm prophesying. I'm not a prophet. I'm a teacher. But when I open my mouth and start giving instructions out of the Word of God, I'm prophesying. So today, what the Lord is telling us in Deuteronomy, he can say, if there arise among you a teacher or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. Go ahead, brother.
And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
Because how's the Lord proving you? He's given us a standard, and he says, if you obey my voice, I'm going to reward you. If you don't, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to punish you. There's that test and that standard. Will you obey my voice? One more verse, brother.
Verse 4.
Yes, sir.
You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him.
And there's that standard. There's that standard that the Lord uses to prove us. Let's go to Judges, the second chapter. Judges 2. Judges 2. Brother, let's take this up at verse 21. 2 and 21. Go ahead.
Found this one.
Judges 2?
Yeah.
It's right after Joshua. You got Deuteronomy, then Joshua, then Judges. That's okay. That's why I got my cheat sheet here. Specific to my Bible, I got all the folks with all the page numbers, just in case I'm teaching and get turned around. Easy to do. I don't profess to know all the books of the Bible in order like some of them 4 or 5 year olds or some of the classes. like my children. I just don't. Judges 2 and pick it up at verse 21, brother. 2 and 21. Go ahead.
I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died.
So the Lord's saying, when Joshua died, there were nations that were still left, and I had you going through, and I told you, you're going to clear out these nations from the land, but you're not going to do it all at once, because the animals and all that will overtake the land, and it'll overgrow, it'll turn into jungles and everything. I'm going to let you take these nations out one by one, because they're disobedient, they're wicked nations. But now the Lord's saying that I will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. Why not? Go ahead, brother.
That through them I might prove Israel.
That through them I might prove Israel. And he's not talking, he's talking about physical here. But today he's talking about the only Israel that matters in God's eyes, spiritual, made up of all nations, including individuals that have been scattered throughout all nations that are physical. Because the gathering of nations will not be until the return of Messiah. This is those times of Romans 10 and Romans 11. Go ahead, brother.
After them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not.
Uh-huh.
Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily. Neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua.
So he did this to prove us. Don't learn the ways of the heathen or the other nations. He left these nations here to prove Israel. But they proved Israel here, and by the time we got down to our generations now, those same nations are proving us today. Judges 3, pick it right up at verse 1, brother. Go ahead.
Now these are the nations which the Lord left. Prove Israel by them.
Uh-huh.
Even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan.
Go ahead, brother.
Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war. At the least, such as before knew nothing thereof.
You go long enough between war, generations that grew, that were at war, like our World War II veterans in America, they're all dying off. You go far enough without a war, you're going to forget what it's like to be at war. You're going to forget the sacrifices that even the civilians back in the country have to make, not just the soldiers that are out there on the front lines. Because when you're in a full-fledged war, you got rations going on at home, you got people making different war machines and ammunition and everything else. When you go long enough without a war, you're going to forget about all that. Go ahead, brother.
Namely, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwell in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering of Hamath.
So these five lords of the Philistines, the Lord left. Why did he leave them again, brother? Go ahead.
And they were to prove Israel by them,
yes,
to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this is how they're going to prove us, sisters and brothers. Right here, let's look at how they're going to prove us. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. Can't mess up twice in one day. Of course I can. I usually do. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. And, brother, let's pick this up in verse 1. 4 and 1. Go ahead.
Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers giveth you.
So now I've given you a standard. And I'm telling, and I'm teaching you these judgments. This is that standard, these statutes, these judgments, these commandments, these laws. I'm giving you this standard to prove you, sisters and brothers. That's what the Lord is telling Israel here. Verse 2, brother, go ahead.
Shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you.
And you're not going to add to these statutes, these standards, these commandments, statutes, judgments, and laws. You're not going to add, and you're not going to diminish from them. You're going to, that you may keep these commandments that the Lord your God gives you, which I'm commanding you that he gave me to tell you about. You're not going to add or take away from none of this. Now let's jump ahead to Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12, we're going to read one verse, 12 and verse 32, brother. 12 and 32. When you get there, go ahead.
What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it.
Sisters and brothers, this is also proving us whether or not we're going to obey his voice. Are we going to add or take away from Scripture to fit our lifestyle? Or when the Lord opens our heart to something, are we going to adjust our lifestyle to conform to the Scriptures? Because that standard is proving our hearts, whether or not we're going to do what the world would have us do. Well, how dare what the world would have you do, Brother Paul? That's selfish and self-centered. The Lord gives you a commandment, and for whatever reason, you try to twist that into your lifestyle. That's leaning on your own understanding. That's twisting the Scriptures. That's adding and taking away to the best of our ability. When the Lord opens our heart, we have to conform to what the Scripture, what he's shown us in his word. Let's go to Proverbs, the 30th chapter. Proverbs 30. Brother, let's pick this up in verse 5. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Go ahead.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Yes, sir.
Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou shalt be found a liar.
Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. We don't like to hear that word, reprove. We want to prove all things so we can be approved of God. But the sad truth is, sisters and brothers, every once in a while, we have to be reproved. But the one way we don't want to be reproved is by adding or taking away from the Word of God. One more place, Revelation 22. Not for the lesson. One more place for the adding or taking away. Revelation 22. Brother, pick it up in verse 18. 22 and 18. Go ahead.
For I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book.
Yes, sir.
If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
Amen.
And if any man shall take away from the word of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
Yes, sir. By the mouth of two or three witnesses is a fact or a matter established. Well, we got Moses here. We got the author of Proverbs. We got John in Revelation. We don't add or we don't take away, because that standard that the Lord gave us, that he told us not to add to or take away from, is the one that the Lord is using to prove our hearts in this world. Let's go to Psalm, the 44th chapter. Psalm 44. Sisters and brothers, this is the sad part, that a lot of sisters and brothers just, they fail to see this. They think that they can go ahead and take hold of the Sabbath day, take hold of the feast days, keep the dietary law. That old cleanliness law, we ain't got to do that no more. It's not an earthly priesthood. And then there's, when they're asked of the hope that's in them, there's no meekness and humility. What they feel to see, sisters and brothers, is the Lord requires us to clean up the secret places. Psalm 44, verse 20, brother. 44 and 20. Go ahead.
If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart.
Shall not God search this out, for he knows the secrets of our heart. He's the only one that does. That's why when you're praying, if you really want to have something, get up to God unimpeded, you don't utter it audibly. Pray in your heart. Because the only one that can see into the heart is God. And that way, Satan can't, and his minions can't obstruct your offerings to the Lord. The only one that can obstruct them when you pray in that manner is you, by not being perfect, by not walking perfect, by having some kind of iniquity in you, or some aught with somebody, or somebody's got aught with you, or you're not treating your helpmate right, and you hindered your own prayers. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. The Lord is the only one that looks into the heart. Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Jeremiah 23 and one verse, brother. Jeremiah 23 and where you get to read verse 24, 23 and 24. Go ahead.
Is it 24?
Yes, sir.
Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?
Can any hide himself in secret places that the Lord shall not see? Don't I fill heaven and earth? I've got all power. I've got seven spirits running to and fro, and then Satan's going to and fro, and these seven spirits are reporting right back to me. I know everything that's happening down there. I see through to the heart. Psalm, the 19th chapter. Let's go to Psalm, the 19th chapter. Psalm 19. Brother, pick it up in verse 11. Psalm 19 and verse 11. Go ahead.
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward.
That's the Lord's command, the statutes, and judgments, and laws. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 12. Who can understand his errors?
Who can understand his errors? Go ahead, brother.
Cleanse thou me from secret faults.
Cleanse thou me from secret faults. David had another way of wording that. He said, prove my heart, Lord. You can't just tell the Lord, oh, cleanse me of secret faults, Lord. The Lord's going to go, okay, I'm going to make sure you don't slip and do this, this, that, or the other again. When you ask the Lord to prove you, what you're doing is you're asking him, open my heart. If I'm falling short, I need to know. Check my secret places, Lord, because I think I'm okay there, but I need you to look. I need you to prove me. I'm walking according to them standards. I'm trying to ascertain that unknown quality or truth by an experiment. My secret places, I need you to look at that, Lord. Let's go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Let's look at David's prayer. Psalm 51, and pick it up at verse 6. Brother, 51 and 6. Go ahead.
Behold, thy desire is truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts, thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
How are you going to know wisdom in the hidden part? Because the Lord's going to open up his eyes to anything that's going on, any iniquity that might be in him. Even if it's a sin, that's not of the death. And this is David right after he kept up having Uriah the Hittite killed and committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he asked the Lord to have mercy on him and all this and cleanse me from my sins and all this. Don't cast me to the side, Lord. Now he's asking the Lord, I want you to even cleanse me in the hidden part, Lord. Go ahead, brother. Verse 7.
Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Uh-huh.
Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Yes, sir.
Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit, one that's filled with love, with charity, with meekness and humility, with those fruits of the Spirit. With those so-called Beatitudes in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Pure in heart and peacemakers and all that. Go ahead, brother.
Cast me not away from thy presence tonight, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit.
Uh-huh.
Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
As soon as I get that beam out of my eye, Lord, and you clean up my secret places, then I can go teach transgressors there your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you, Lord. But you got to help me. You got to prove my secret places, Lord. Clean me up to the best of my ability is what I'm looking to do. Help me here. Prove me, Father. Go ahead and continue.
Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings.
You didn't want no sacrifices. You don't delight in burnt offerings. Because, I burn the cows and the goats and the sheep till the cows come home. But that's not what you're looking for, Lord. Go ahead, brother.
The cows won't come home if you burn them all.
Well, you're not going to burn them all, but I know what you're saying. Go ahead, brother. 17.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh, God,
thou wilt not despise.
Where do you break your spirit, and where does a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart come from? That doesn't come out from the open. It comes from them secret places. It comes from them secret places. That conscience that beats across the back of your head when you're over there getting into something, and it's the spirit's guiding you to stay on the path. Those secret places where only you know, and the Lord is looking down at us. A couple more places and we're done. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians 13. You can take that off your list there, Brother Joe. 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. There's a way that we stay on this path when the Lord is proving us. There's something we got to do, especially when we're asking him to prove us. 2 Corinthians 13, one verse, brother, verse 5. Go ahead.
Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith.
Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And this is where that brutal honesty comes in. Go ahead, brother.
Prove your own selves.
Uh-huh.
Know ye not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate.
Prove your own selves. That's why before the Passover, especially, we put that mirror up in front of us a couple of weeks in advance. Just in case we see something we might need to pray and meditate on, we might need to fast on. By the time the Passover rolls around, you should have had a massive amount of spiritual growth since the last Passover. And we're constantly, every day, we're examining ourselves and dying daily. But that's how we prove ourselves by God's standard. And then, of course, we're asking him to prove us. Last place, Galatians, the 6th chapter. And this will be it. Galatians 6. And, brother, one verse. Bring us home, verse 4, 6 and 4. Go ahead.
But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another.
Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. How are you going to prove your own work? You know them standards. You know them commandments. Starts with the covenant, the ten. And then it branches off into different roads that go toward the dietary law and the cleanliness law and all those laws on who you can lay with and who you can't and what happens when you're unclean and all that. But it starts with the covenant, which is the Ten Commandments. And the Lord uses this world to prove our hearts. So, sisters and brothers, the world, God's way of proving our hearts. It was, as always, an honor and a privilege to stand before you. And I hope that somebody got something from the scriptures.
Amen, brothers. Amen. Praise be the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Ooh-wee. Let me tell you, man, we got to get to that point. The other thing is, man, when it's something that the Father had put in our, you know, when you had opened the door to this, he had put this scripture in my heart, and it was in Psalms 17. And I just want to share this. It's Psalm 17. And it says this. Says, you know, keep me, Psalm 17 and 8, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, and from the deadly enemies who compass me about. He said, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it was a young lion lurking for secret places, arise, O Lord, disappoint him and cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. So sometimes, man, in order for you to get to the place that he needs you to be, he used the wicked to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
You know. He'll use the world to get you there. He'll use the world to do things, to take sometimes we may be a little distracted. We may be distracted, or sometimes, man, we may think we're just a little bit too comfortable before the eyes of the true and living God. You know, sometimes we just feel like maybe God of Israel ain't going to have no problem with that I'm being wicked, or that I'm doing things in front of his eyes that I know that's wicked. Maybe. Maybe there isn't no God. Maybe I don't believe there really is. You know, these things, you know, people have to really, like you said, examine yourself. Don't take that pass over willy-nilly. You know, because he ain't going to take part in you. You could bring all kind of hell on yourself just because of doing it. Like we try to remind people, man, the atonement ain't just for that day. The atonement is for the year. You can't take off the atonement. If you can keep the atonement, you can keep righteousness all year long.
Amen.
You can't take that off. If you can walk holiness in that one day, the Lord is showing you, you can do it every day. You see, we want to, when atonement is over with, the first thing we want to do is go and gurge in flesh. That's typical. That's typical. Like, you know, okay, I did what I need to do. Now I can go back into my nonsense. No. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. The Lord is, like you said, he's trying you, man. He's proving you. He's checking you out. He's trying to make sure you fit for the Father's kingdom. You know, that lake of fire thing is a long time. And that's a whole lot of misery to sell yourself short in this world. And I decided that I'm just not going to be a part of it. You know, I just decided that I'm not going to sell myself short to this thing, man. I can't do it. You know, it ain't that I can't. It's just that I just don't want to. Look at all these things the Lord has given us. Look what the Lord is blessing us with. And the only thing we can do is run off into wickedness as soon as we get an opportunity? Nah. Just because the world is in front of you and the world is easy picking? Nah. I'd rather die in righteousness than in my sins. That lake of fire is a real conversation. He said you're going to disappear into it. It's like people fall in a lava and they disappear. You never see nothing else left of them. You have a candlelight and a picture visual. That's the end of your story. No, man. He used the world to get the best out of us. And I really appreciate this precept, brother. Amen. I yield the mic.
Praise be to God. Any other comments or questions?
Well, I guess you got your point across.
Praise be to God. I'm thinking, and I don't want to really commit, but I want to kind of put it out there, and maybe we'll throw it around a little bit. I'm thinking I might do something on prayer and meditation next week. But if I do, it'll kind of be a whole two-hour deal, and we might have to just do it like we did across the kitchen table, like we did that one night, where we actually get everyone involved. But Brother Joe, I'll talk with you during the week before the midst of the week, and we'll see if this is something we can pull off.
Well, hey, man, if the Father move you, man, and we can get into it, then, hey, let's go with it. Oh, and we're going to be sending out, you know, another meeting. We're going to have a meeting this Sunday coming up, God willing. We live. So if we can, we can have all the brothers and sisters online for that conference meeting. You know, any ideas, anything to that effect that we can go forward. All right. Had a great week. We had a great week. And the Father been blessing. The Scripture's been blessing. And I can't get enough of it, man. You know, it's just me. And I thank the Father for it. You know. So we want to just keep everything rolling smoothly. Everybody that's, you know, involved want to keep rolling smoothly. Everybody stay on the same page. And if we can move forward, we're going to move forward on a lot of different things. But next weekend, we're going to send the phone conference out and the time window that we're going to meet. And, yeah, call me up, man. Call me up. And we'll touch down on that prayer, okay?
Amen.
Praying fasting, okay. That'll be a good thing. Great job reading, Jeremy, as usual. Right on point. Man, I ain't see you miss no points, boy. You was in that. Hallelujah. So, all right, with that being said, we're going to thank you got any closing comments?
I'm going to close with this. Read the book.
You know what, brother? It don't get no plainer than that, Jack. Read your book. As we say, the sounds of living waters, you know, we hope we edify somebody. And do what?
Read your Bible. Amen.
Read your Bible.
That's right.
Read your book.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.